Introduction. Jiu-jitsu is a martial art. Applications for jiu-jitsu are found in self-defense, jiu-jitsu competitions, and mixed martial arts competitions. Primary aspects of jiu-jitsu are defense, sweeps, chokes, and limb locks. It is designed to allow a smaller opponent to defeat a larger opponent. A jiu-jitsu practitioner and teacher once said, "Nobody's a tough guy when they can't breathe." This idea is the premise of jiu-jitsu in that it identifies that even the toughest person has a weak spot and can be defeated. Jiu-jitsu's origins are debated. Some say it was developed in India by monks, while others trace origins back to Japan. Both histories may be true. The most popular form of modern jiu-jitsu is Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Brazilian jiu-jitsu was created by the Gracie family and has been passed down the family lineage since the time of Helio Gracie. In 1993, Gracie Jiu-Jitsu gained widespread popularity after being showcased at Ultimate Fighting Championship 1. At UFC 1, Royce Gracie defeated bigger, stronger opponents using Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. From there, Jiu-Jitsu has gained popularity and new offshoots of Jiu-Jitsu have emerged or been brought into the spotlight. Jiu-Jitsu is a very complex and technical form of combat. Arguably, it is more technical than any other form of martial arts. For example, in boxing, kickboxing, or any other similar form of martial arts, a knockout punch can still be a knockout punch even if it is off-center. A choke or limb lock is different. A choke has to be placed just right or it does not work. It might hurt, but it will not cause the opponent to lose consciousness. For that reason, the moves described have to be done just right. Due to this, it can take more time to learn jiu-jitsu because of the level of technical skill required. Jiu-jitsu is often referred to as ground game. While the ground is a large aspect of jiu-jitsu, it is not all that jiu-jitsu encompasses. Many jiu-jitsu techniques are employed while standing. Chokes, locks, defense, and takedowns can all be performed from a standing position. We will cover aspects for both the standing and ground-based areas of jiu-jitsu. In this manual, the basics of jiu-jitsu for self-defense application will be covered. Defensive maneuvers will be a primary focus, as that is the first part of any good jiu-jitsu program. The ability to fight against a larger or more skilled opponent is essential to preventing the fight from being taken to the ground, or in surviving a fight when it goes to the ground. 7 specific areas will be covered. 1. Takedowns, takedown defense, and movement. This will relay movement, some basic takedowns, and how to defend against them. 2. Standing and guard. This will detail basic defense against an opponent who pushes or knocks you to the ground, yet stays standing. 3. Escapes. This will show how to move from a submissive position to a dominant position on the ground by using basic escapes. 4. Sweeps. Similar to the escapes section, this will detail how to move from a submissive position to a dominant position using basic sweeps. 5. Attacks from guard. Closed guard is one of the greatest defensive and offensive positions for a person on their back. This section will offer a few key attacks and chains for defending off your back. 6. Attacks from mount. This will show you how to control and attack from the top mount once you have achieved it. 7. Putting it together. This section will show you how to chain some of these movements together. An 8th area will be included that covers a brief introduction to stand-up striking in the form of boxing. All fights start standing. A good defense and offense will help you in this position to control the fight and avoid damage. There will be some content overlap in the sections as they are all interrelated. Safety first. Before moving on, it is important to take a moment to consider safety. Be mindful of the following points. Always practice safety first. When practicing any form of martial art or engaging in any strenuous activity, the possibility of injury is present. For this reason, it is necessary to be mindful of safety practices to limit the number of bumps, bruises, and injuries that occur, as well as minimizing the severity. These moves are hard to practice alone. A grappling dummy can be used, but a good training partner is better. Find a partner who will work well with you. A good partner helps you learn the moves. They do not try to make it a fight. Minimal resistance is used when practicing and learning the moves. This allows the technique to develop. When practicing the following moves, always practice them in a safe area. Ideally, these moves should be practiced on jiu-jitsu or wrestling-specific mats. Be sure that objects that could be harmful are not in the way. A takedown performed next to a cabinet could result in a bumped head or worse. When practicing chokes, joint locks, strikes, or any other move, apply the minimum amount of pressure needed to perform the moves. Practice is to learn. not hurt. Grappling is the sparring of jiu-jitsu. It is when the training partners actively try to perform the moves on the other person. During grappling sessions, opponent resistance is increased, so pressure will be increased. Yet there is still the need to be mindful of how much pressure is applied. Only apply enough pressure to successfully complete the move or get the opponent to tap. I want to cover one final note about the manual before we begin. As you work through various moves, you will notice that I refer to you as the defender and your opponent as the attacker. The moves you use will enable you to defend against the attacker. However, the moves the attacker use are moves you should learn as well. They are moves that can be useful to both parties. For example, one of the first moves you are going to defend against is the double leg takedown. Being able to defend against this move will help you stop a person from taking you to the ground and doing harm. The double leg can be useful for you to attack with as well. At some point in the fight, you might feel the desire to take the fight to the ground, ideally in an attempt to incapacitate your attacker to protect yourself. In this case, a double leg could be useful. Besides the moves being useful, they are fun to learn as well. So as you and your partner work through this manual, take turns playing the defender and the attacker so that both of you can learn all of the moves. Chapter 1. Takedowns, takedown defense, and movement. All fights start standing. The best way to avoid being taken to the ground is to avoid a fight altogether. Proper communication and other nonviolent, non-aggressive steps should first be taken to avoid a fight whenever possible. The second way to avoid the takedown, and potentially the fight too, is to keep distance between yourself and the aggressor, then leaving the scene as soon as possible. However, that is not always possible. When a fight has initiated, the best way to avoid damage from strikes and avoid going to the ground is to use evasive maneuvers. The most basic of these is keeping the distance. This is a common term used in any martial arts. Keeping the distance refers to maintaining the distance between yourself and an opponent. The distance required will vary on your or the aggressor's intent. To avoid strikes and takedowns, a good rule of thumb is to keep a double arm's length distance from the attacker. This means if you are standing in stance and extended your front arm straight out and the aggressor did the same, you would not touch hands. Refer to the strikes section for proper stance. This is a good distance for safety since an aggressor who cannot reach you cannot hurt you. This double arm's length distance is good for avoiding kicks as well as punches. A double arm's length is longer than the average person's leg. A person at the distance will not be able to hit you without first closing the distance. This applies to takedowns as well. From a double arm's length distance, a person will need to close the distance to perform a takedown. The further the attacker is from the defender, the longer it will take the attacker to close the distance and achieve the takedown. This increased time will allow the defender to see the attacker attempting the takedown and allow the defender to use a takedown defense or counter. Whenever possible, keep the distance. If the aggressor moves toward you, you step back. If you cannot step back, then circle out. This type of movement is part of basic footwork taught in stand-up striking forms of combat such as boxing or kickboxing. What is a takedown? A takedown is a move that an attacker will use to get the defender to the ground. Takedown defense refers to a move that the defender uses to stop the attacker from taking them to the ground. When a counter is applied to an attacker attempting a takedown, the defender is using an attacking move to counter the takedown. In the following section, you will be the defender and the other person will be the attacker. Double leg takedown, tackle, defense, and counters. One of the most basic takedowns is also one that is most likely to be employed in the streets. It is the double leg takedown, or tackle. The double leg takedown is a wrestling move that relies on the attacker bending at the knees while moving toward the defender, grabbing behind the knees, and pushing forward with the shoulder and head pressed into the stomach or waist area of the defender. The tackle is basically the same thing, except the attacker generally grips the defender around the waist. This is more common in the street by an unskilled opponent. There are defenses and counters to both moves. The defenses and counters outlined in the following section will refer directly to the double leg takedown, but are equally applicable to a tackle. The following series of pictures will outline the double leg takedown and tackle. Double leg takedown. Figure 1. This is the start position for the double leg takedown. The attacker and the defender are face to face. While the body positions, stances, may vary slightly from situation to situation, the double leg will always be achieved from a frontal attack. Figure 2. The attacker will move in on the defender. The attacker will lower himself or herself, also known as changing levels. The attacker will put himself or herself at about waist height, grab behind the defender's knees, and place their shoulder in the defender's stomach. Figure 3. This is a rear shot of the same position. Notice the hand placement of the attacker's hands behind the defender's legs and the placement of the attacker's shoulders in the defender's stomach. Figure 4. From this position, the attacker will drive forward into the defender's stomach while pulling the knees of the defender into the attacker. This will drive the defender's body backwards while making them unable to balance. Figure 5. The attacker pushes forward. Figure 6. The attacker has successfully taken down the defender. Tackle. Figure 7. The start position for the tackle. Figure 8. For the tackle, the attacker is a bit higher on the defender's body. The attacker gets a hold on the defender at about waist height. Figure 9. The rear view of the same position. Figure 10. From this position, the attacker drives forward, relying on the momentum alone to force the defender to lose balance and fall to the ground. Figure 11. The attacker drives forward. Figure 12. The attacker has successfully taken the defender down. The double leg takedown and tackle have multiple defenses and counters. Only a few will be covered here. The first is the head push and pivot. The following series of images will outline it. Push and pivot defense. Figure 13. This is the beginning position for the head push and pivot. Figure 14. In this picture, the attacker moves in for the takedown. The defender extends her hand toward the attacker's head. Figure 15. As the attacker moves forward, the defender pushes away on the attacker's head and pivots to the side of the defending arm. Figure 16. The defender is out of the way of the attacker's line of motion. From here, the defender can step away, throw a punch to the attacker's head, or throw another strike at the attacker. Figure 17. This is the opposite side view of the finishing position. From here, you can see how easy it would be to step away or throw a strike, especially with the defender's rear hand. The head push is one of my favorite defensive moves to a rushing opponent. It can be used from multiple angles and heights. The above is the first example, but it can be used for someone who is going for a head grab. In this case, instead of pushing the head, I push the face, but the idea is the same. I still push the person's head or face away and pivot away from them. The head or face push is useful from so many positions. On the ground, a person can create space using the head or face push. The same is true for the clinch. Therefore, as you are practicing these moves and committing them to memory, stop from time to time and think about how these moves and others can be utilized from different positions. A move is only a bad idea if it does not work. If it works, go for it. The next double leg defense is the shoulder stop. It can be done with the palms, shoulder palm stop, or with the forearms, forearm shoulder stop. The next series of images will outline both. Palm shoulder stop. Figure 18. This is the start position for the palm shoulder stop. Figure 19. The attacker moves in. As he does, the defender steps 1 foot back and extends the arm towards the attacker. Figure 20. The defender has put her palms on the attacker to stop the defender's forward motion. It is important to put the rear leg and arms out far enough to apply the same amount of pressure or more as the attacker. The defender in this image uses this stance, but others may want to put the rear leg further back and extend the arms more. It is a personal preference, but it should allow the defender, you, to comfortably balance and apply enough counter pressure to stop the attacker's forward movement. Figure 21. In this image, you can see that the attacker cannot get a firm grip on the defender's body or legs. This is the point. The defender can widen this gap by stepping further back with the leg and extending the arms more. Forearm shoulder stop. Figure 22. This is the start position for the forearm stop. Figure 23. The attacker moves forward in the same manner as the palm shoulder stop. This time, the defender uses her forearms to stop the forward movement. All the same dynamic principles apply here. The only real difference in this move is the use of the forearms and the fact that it is better for a closer opponent or an opponent who moves in at a higher shoulder level. The elbow stop is one of my favorite defenses for a rushing opponent. I do a one-armed variation most of the time. The way I do this is by using just my forward arm to shoulder stop the opponent. My free hand does not just hang around, though. I can do a few things with my free hand. I can work for an underhook on the opponent's arm with the free hand, look for an attack, or push the opponent's head toward the ground. Pushing the head toward the ground can cause the attacker to become off balance and fall. The head push alone could be enough, but when combined with the attacker's forward momentum, this can be done even more easily when properly applied. Attacks, such as a number of chokes or strikes, can be set up from here as well. Finally, the underhook can be used to give me control over the person's body that I can use for a number of purposes. The final defense to the double leg takedown is the guillotine choke, a popular jiu-jitsu move that has moved over to MMA. It is a bit harder to pull off, which is why the guillotine choke is listed last. It is similar to the previous two defenses with one exception. Instead of shoulder stopping the attacker, the defender slips one arm around the attacker's neck to sink in a choke. While this is a defense, it can commonly be referred to as a counter, which is the more appropriate term. This choke can be used to counter from a standing position, standing guillotine choke, and as the attacker completes the takedown, standard guillotine choke. Note, the guillotine can be applied from other positions as well, but we will not be outlining those here. The following photos will outline both the standing guillotine choke and standard guillotine choke. Guillotine choke counter. Figure 24. This is the start position for the standing guillotine choke. As was mentioned, the guillotine choke is applied as a counterattacker in this situation. Figure 25. The attacker moves in for the takedown. At this point, the defender can do a few things. First, she can stand right in front and attempt to catch the attacker's head for the move. Second, she can step to the side to allow the attacker's head to line up for the move. Third, the defender can push the attacker's head to the side as he moves forward in order to move the head in line for the move. Finally, the attacker can step slightly to the side and push the attacker's head to line it up for the move. Any of these setups will work as long as the attacker's head ends up in the correct position. It is a matter of personal preference and situation. Time and practice will help you learn which works better for you. Figure 26. The defender shoots her arms around the attacker's neck. She reaches the choking hand around to the other side of her body, where she clasps both hands together. The choke does not generally go in perfectly immediately. The inside of the elbow needs to be lined up with the front of the attacker's throat. From the current position, the defender can adjust the arm position until the choke is sunk in. Figure 27. Notice how the hands are clasped together. The defender has reached her arm around the attacker's neck to the other side and joined hands. The stance she has is a little wider than shoulder width, and her knees are slightly bent. Different hand grips can be used. Palm to palm, inverted palm to palm, and palm to wrist are my preferred grips. Experiment with grips to see which one you like best. As long as you are able to perform the move properly, the grip does not matter. Figure 28. The guillotine in more detail. Notice the arm that is extended. It is the choking arm. Figure 29. The arm reaches downward, preparing to slide under the throat. Figure 30. The arm is extended under the neck. The inner elbow goes under the throat, and the arm reaches to the other side of the body. Figure 31. The choking arm is connected with the hand of the non-choking arm. Different grips can be used here. As long as you can perform the choke, any grip is fine. Figure 32. Lift on the neck by pushing the shoulder blades backward and pushing the pelvis slightly forward. Keep a bend in your knees. Do not try to stand tall. For safety purposes, during practice, do not push the shoulders back all the way or push the pelvis completely forward. This would sink the choke in deep and could seriously hurt your training partner. In a real situation, you would push the shoulders back and pelvis forward. You would essentially create a dip in your lower back that allows you to lift the opponent's neck. In extreme situations, the opponent may even be lifted off the ground. In practice, exercise caution. Figure 33. In the event that the defender is unable to stop the attacker from moving forward, you can maintain the guillotine to the ground and choke the attacker out there. Figure 34. As the attacker keeps pushing forward, the defender needs to keep a firm grip on the neck of the attacker. Allow yourself to fall in a controlled manner with the momentum. Remember, this is only if you cannot stop the attacker from moving forward. Do not go to the ground on your back unless forced. Figure 35. As the defender falls to the ground, she wraps her legs around the attacker to establish guard. Notice how she keeps her head high. This will help prevent the head from hitting the ground. While this